LATalkRadio.com isn't just an internet address. It's the home of irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk. We say what we want.
There are great ideas, and there are ideas that seem great at the time. Back Time explores both sides of that coin as we remember the events that make up August 26th. Today, 1920, we admitted that women were people, too, as the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was ratified, giving women the right to vote. On this day in 1929, amusement parks became more than just cotton candy when the first roller coaster was built in America. And today in 1985, the American automobile industry was introduced to the luxury and quality of goods manufactured in Yugoslavia as the Yugo automobile was introduced to the U.S. That's Back Time for August 26th. This is your announcer speaking.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On.
Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On.
Yes, we've all been stuck behind you, sir, wondering aloud, is it going to turn here? No. Maybe the next? No. Then maybe? No.
You're gonna cause a five-car pile.
Perhaps, Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On, you are simply on a personal mission to drive around the entire globe slightly to the left.
I'd honk my horn, but you wouldn't notice.
Apparently, you don't notice anything.
Maybe you'll notice this obscene gesture, yeah.
You believe a left turn signal should be left on, and your right turn signal feels so right, you never shut it off. And so we dub you, Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On, a real American hero.
Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On.
Oh, he must be turning here. Nope. Oh, dear. Oh.
It's the Onion Radio News. An entrepreneur is stuck with 40,000 unsold Bin Laden urinal cakes. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Gabe Kloster, a 32-year-old Queens-based entrepreneur, expressed fear today that he may not be able to sell his remaining inventory of 40,000 urinal cakes bearing an image of Osama bin Laden between a pair of crosshairs. Last October, the product had proven so popular that Kloster decided to focus exclusively on the manufacture of the cherry-scented, terrorist-decorated cakes, but today, sales are off.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to move these cakes.
Kloster is also considering trying to get a tax write-off by donating the entire inventory to the homeless. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News.
And now from high atop the L.A. Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on L.A. Talk Radio.
Good morning, Susie. Good morning, the world.
Hello, hello.
It is Tuesday, August 26th. Another beautiful day in L.A. Foggy again.
A little hazy, a little hazy.
A little hazy. It's called pollution here in L.A.
Aw, don't be so pessimistic. Aw.
So, I'm sure you have a lot to tell us from the first day at school and stuff, huh?
Actually, you know what? I always hate the first day of school. I get really nervous, and I don't know. I kind of feel like I always sit in the front row with, like, my short skirt and my pencil sharpened, like, ready for anything the professors may throw at me. Uh-huh. But I don't know. Like, my first class was statistics, and as you were saying before, I was going to hate it, and it's going to be miserable. And you know what?
I didn't say that. You said that.
Okay. Maybe I'm projecting my feelings onto you. But, yeah, it was It was exactly that.
And, was it dry and everything?
Well, so far, the professor was this guy from the Ukraine, and so he doesn't even really speak very good English.
Oh, man, those professors. And why do they do this? They keep on doing this.
It's a subject that everyone, you know, I mean, math in general, everyone needs a professor that they can actually understand.
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden you go from your elementary school and high school teachers that totally speak perfect English, and you can understand them, well, sometimes, hopefully, to these crazy fucking professors that are from all over the world, which I guess is good. I mean, I don't want to be, you know, xenophobic and be like, oh, you know, stay in your own country, because I don't feel that way at all.
Yeah.
But when I have to get a translator to understand what they're saying,
yeah, a heavy accent is hard. I mean, it's a chore to have to sit through that, you know?
It really, really is.
I mean, because you got to get the material anyway, and it's hard, and now you have this obstacle of trying to understand what the fuck he's saying.
Got the freaking language barrier going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so then he tells us, he's like, I do not care. He's like, do not send me any emails. I will not answer them. And we're like,
really?
Wait a minute. Like, aren't professors supposed to? And he's like, I do not want you to come to office hours. If you have a question, ask me in class. I mean, this teacher right off the bat was just kind of...
What a lazy motherfucker.
Very lazy. He's like, if you send me 30 emails, he's like, I don't care. He's like, it's not important. I delete, 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 delete. And he spent the first half an hour of class telling us that he was just going to delete our emails.
Really? So he spent obviously some time telling you what an asshole he is.
Pretty much, yes.
That's wonderful.
But something he did say, which I thought was kind of funny, he's like, if you were going to miss class, he's like, I don't give a fuck. He's like, well, he didn't say fuck.
Yeah. That's your editing.
That just naturally goes into my language. Shoot. But yeah, so he was just like, if you want to skip class, he's like, I don't care. He's like, if you have a very sick stomach, I don't care. And we're like, okay, yeah, people usually skip class for being sick. Mm-hmm. He's like, but an even better reason is because you wanted to go stop your boyfriend.
Really?
And we're like, ooh, okay. So he's giving us permission to kind of miss class if we want to go have a afternoon delight.
Yeah. You see, what I think with some of these professors, they get the job because they're on a power trip. You know, because that's what he sounds like, you know?
Yes.
It's like he lays down the rules like a fucking military man or something, you know? And it's bullshit. You
it's
know? I mean,
totally
what kind
bullshit.
Of an approach is that?
And even like professors these days, like, well, you know, at Santa Monica College, most schools and most professors don't really care. Well, they shouldn't really care if students attend their class or not, so long as they get the material and they do well on the tests. But I mean, Santa Monica College is really, really frustratingly annoying about their attendance policy. Like, you can miss three classes and then you're dropped from the class, or you get an F.
Wow,
yes.
Really?
Yeah. And that's always annoyed me because, I mean, a lot of the time I feel I can learn the material on my own and, you know, I might not have to be in every class or I might have to be at work or something will have to come up.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, these are rules for little kids.
These are rules for little kids. Like, we're adults, you know what I mean? A lot of the people that are at community colleges, you know, they're not 18 years old and fresh out of high school. I mean, some of them are. Mm. But a lot of them are people that are continuing their education later on in life.
Right.
And they have things to do and, I don't know. Don't get me started.
Well, so what did you learn? What did you come away with yesterday?
Yesterday, nothing. From math class, anyway, because we didn't actually get to anything. But in biology, I was super excited. That was really fun. We had snail races.
Really?
Yes. We had a three-hour-long snail race.
Wow.
So we were wondering...
What was that about? What were you supposed to learn from that?
Oh, I don't know. We were supposed to be making up hypotheses about this, and if, like, the bigger the snail, the faster it would go, or the smaller the snail, the slower it would go, or... then we put the snails on ice and froze and chilled them for a little while, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, so we were wondering yesterday why my classes were going to be so long, and it turns out because, you know, we were going to have a three-hour snail race.
Wow.
Because I can't
go
any faster.
Well, that sounds
fun. Yes, it was fun. And Franzia stopped by, actually, to have dinner with me in between my classes, and he brought me some wine.
Oh, so, that's cool. So I was going to ask, did you drink before the classes?
Not before math, because I ended up just taking out my friends yesterday for pizza and for a walk through the romantic walk in the Venice canals.
Right. So what does that mean, that you didn't drink?
I didn't drink before math.
Oh, okay. All right.
But then all of a sudden, Franzia shows up at school with a box of Franzia. And, you know, what can I say?
You can't say no, right?
I'm nervous. It was the first day.
Yeah. So I guess you decided not to... take a time off from alcohol, right?
Because
we were talking about it, and then you changed your mind.
Well, actually, by the time, you know, I just had like a glass with my dinner, a cup of wine. Mm-hmm. That's not really too much. That doesn't really count for anything at all, actually.
No.
But so when I was finished with class, I went home and I just had a mellow evening and I read my book and I had two glasses of wine, Sam, not two bottles.
Wow!
So
I'm proud of you.
I did take it easy.
And you read the textbook and stuff?
No.
Oh.
A book for fun.
Oh, I see.
I'm not that motivated or dedicated, please.
Do you believe how expensive those textbooks are?
Actually, you know what? I went and I sold all of my textbooks from last semester and the semester before back to a secondhand bookstore.
Mm.
And I got $106 for like $1,500 worth of books.
Wow.
So
yeah.
you
see how they make
the
their
math
money?
On that.
Yeah. That's how they make their money. Shit.
I know. And then... I don't know, when I was going into the bio class, this girl kind of assaulted me, and she was like, are you going into the biology 1 class? And I was like, yes, what's it to you? And she's like, I've got a couple of the books right here. And she, like, whips out a briefcase full of, like, textbooks. I was like, okay. She's like, step into my office and, like, drags me into a corner. Uh-huh. And, like, she was this little Asian chick, and it was just really funny that she was being, I don't know, so covert about her like, used textbook operation.
Wow.
So she hustled me down to an ATM, and I bought my bio book for, like, $40.
Oh, wow. How much would it cost otherwise, a new one?
About $200.
Two? Wait. What?
You look horrified.
$200? I thought they were like about $100 would be the...
It ends up being like $180, I think, with tax and everything.
For one fucking book, right?
Yep. But it's got the DVD and it's got like, you know, the extra...
Still, I mean, these are students, you know?
They're raping us.
And, yes. And they figure, you know what? Most people will have financial aid, so we can stick it to them. Mm. And somebody's going to pay for this. But I definitely feel there's got to be some kind of a law or something system
to
in the colleges.
The students.
Yes. To subsidize it or something.
I completely agree.
But clearly, the publishers are trying to get away with murder because they know you have to have the book.
Yep. Actually, this was what you asked what I learned in math, and this is what I learned. My math teacher told us yesterday. He was like, if you buy the new book, he's like, you will spend X amount of dollars on the new book. And he's like, you know how much this professor, and he told us the name of the professor that wrote the book, got paid every year to write a new edition of the book. Automatic withdrawal of like 100, or automatic deposit into his account of $150,000 every year. And literally, they don't come out with a new book. They just switch around a couple of the problems.
Yeah.
So that students can't follow as easily in class if they have the last year's edition.
Yeah.
But that's so... It's highway robbery. It's so unfair to the students.
Yeah, $200 for a book.
Yep.
Come on.
It's obscene.
You know, I mean, there's
nothing to it. Have you gotten your daughter's book bill yet?
No, I haven't gotten any bills yet.
That's the reason why you're asking me. You're like, shit, she's going to stick it to me.
Yeah. Oh. No, because I remember from going to college also. I mean, back then, we were still paying about $50-$60 a book.
Even back then?
Well, fuck you.
Come on, I got to get it. I got to get it in while I can.
I actually went back to school at a later age, you know. Because when I went right after high school, I wasn't really into it at all. You know, it was just drugs and partying and shit.
Of course.
So so then I went back and – so I went back when I was 27, actually, to finish to finish school. And then I did all 3 years that I had left. And
you were much more focused and you had your priorities straight at that point in your
life. You know, because it's like I approached it like a business. You know?
Yes.
I was going to go on for an MBA and everything.
And you were paying paying for it yourself most likely.
Right. And you're there because you want to, not because you have to.
Exactly.
So it's different, you know. And plus I was going to go for an MBA at a good school and I figured I got to get some good grades. So I did graduate with honors like cum laude or something. And because I mean, I was pulling straight A's all the time, you know, because like I said, I approach it like a business. Okay, this is what is probably expected, and this is what I'm going to read. These are the highlights, blah, blah, blah. And I would get it every time, you know. So, so I would definitely recommend, highly recommend that people wait a few years after high school to go back to college, you know.
Maybe
you need
not,
to be
maybe
a little
not
more
even
mature.
A few years, but, you know, maybe just take, definitely people should take a year off and if they can afford it, try and do some traveling and go see the world and things like that because that really makes people grow up just getting out of their parents' clutches. Because, I mean, I really feel that once kids turn 18, if they haven't gone to a boarding school or something, for me, I didn't really go crazy when I left for college because I had already been on my own for many years.
Right.
I went crazy a lot earlier.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why another reason why we have such a big problem with the binge drinking and everything at college.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what many people go for is the partying.
Yep.
You know, and they don't take the study seriously. And that's, you know, and then they're fucked. You know,
and they're usually doing a lot of fucking too.
There you go. You know, so, but you know, I went back at a later age, and then you know, I never went for the MBA because I started a business right after school. So that was cool. You know, and
it's never too late.
No, there. You know, exactly. And that's what I was going to say is that I always felt shit. You know, now I got to put in another three and a half years, and but then I thought, you know what, I'm going to get to age 30 one way or another, so I might as well get there with a degree, you know, and that's what happened, you know.
I'm kind of like a different scenario, though, and my family and a lot of my friends don't really, like, understand. Like, the degree actually isn't my, well, it obviously is a goal at some point, and a lot of people just say, I have a commitment issue, you know, whether it's with boys or whether it's with, you know, school or picking a career, and, well, basically just sticking with anything. My father calls me a flake. He thinks I'm flaky, and not in a good way.
No.
But I don't know. I don't really find myself being that way long term. But I don't know. I've always had a hard time going to school just to get a degree. My mom's like, just go. I don't care what you pick. Just pick anything. Just get a degree.
Yeah.
I was like, but what if it's in something I don't want to have a degree in, Mom? Like, what if halfway through I don't like it and I really Like, don't want to do anything in this field. And then what am I going to do? She's like, it doesn't matter. You'll have that piece of paper. And I've always been like, fuck that. I don't really care so much about the piece of paper so long as I personally am learning and growing and learning and growing and taking classes that I'm interested in and that I really like.
Yeah.
Like right now, yesterday, sitting through that stats class was torture.
Yeah.
And I really don't feel I should have to be wasting my money or my time on it if it's not something that will help me in the long run.
Yeah.
Or maybe it will. I don't know.
It will.
No.
It will. I mean, you're going into
therapy. The,
yeah. I mean, it's sort of like a medical field. You know, not quite, but...
It is.
Yeah. So, I mean, you need
to... Social.
Yeah.
Social medical.
And you need to understand those things, because you're going to be reading a lot of studies and research and shit like that, you know.
But
so you
I
need
do
to understand,
understand it. And the professor...
Probabilities. You don't understand probabilities.
Oh, thank you very much.
No,
the
I'm
probability
saying this...
of me kicking you in the ass right now is very high.
No, I mean, you don't know it technically the way you will know at the end of the semester, I'm sure.
Oh, God.
You know.
We'll see.
No, you see, but I mean, the professor sounds like an asshole, so it may be a very long semester for you.
I know.
Can't you switch classes to another professor?
Well, that's the thing. Like, all the professors I find in the math department are equally odious. They're all just, ugh. I don't know. It's just really frustrating. The language thing is actually the biggest issue.
So that's the thing. I mean, you might want to actually go.
Like, he was actually writing words on the board yesterday. He's like, I mean hole. And he would write on the board, like, W-H-O. He's like, not hole. And then he would write H-O-L-E. And then he would cross that out. And, like, every five words he was saying that.
Really?
And, like, writing these things on the board for little mistakes he was making. I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? I'm like, hurry it up, fucker. I'm like, let's go.
Well, that's exactly what you should tell them. Go to the admissions office or wherever you're supposed to go, a counselor or something, and present this to them. Tell them, look, you know, I'm here. This material is hard anyway, and this is like a total distraction for me. It hinders my ability to learn. Can I switch classes? I don't see that they'll give you any trouble. You know, I mean, they would do it in high school. Why wouldn't they do it in college, you know?
Yeah.
So, although they might not have any room in other classes, but you just started, you know, so there's a lot of people dropping classes
and adding
shit like
and all
that,
other
right?
Stuff. Yeah.
So you might want to consider that because it's going to be a long fucking semester for you.
You know what I want to do? Someone told me last semester about a website called rateyourprofessor.com, I think.
Yes.
And you can actually go and students actually will rate like how easy or how hard their professor is.
Right.
I think that's so awful. And so like my last philosophy class I took last semester, people were just kind of like, oh, did you go to rateyourprofessor.com? Like this guy said, oh my God, everyone gets an A in his class. You don't even have to show up. And so that's why everyone turned up for the class. And then, you know what I mean? It really actually sucked for me. So I'm kind of on both sides of the fence with this one. And so I really actually wanted to learn about all the philosophies and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would show up to class really excited to have like or facilitate some kind of classroom discussion like with my fellow classmates, and I'm the only student there. And then I'm sitting there like, are you kidding me? I dropped the class like 3 weeks later because I was the only one showing up.
Wow.
Because he didn't take attendance and he didn't give a fuck. And then people got A's anyway because like what was he going to say? Like I'm a shitty professor and no one wants to like be in my classes.
Wow.
So I mean it's kind of like, but in math I don't really want to be there and I wish there were a professor where I didn't have to show up and I could just get an A.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Tell me something. Now, if you go to become a sex therapist, don't you have to have a master's degree?
Yes, you do.
Okay. So you're going to get a lot harder statistics classes, too. This is just the beginning. This is statistics 101. I'm sorry. I mean, you know, I'm not meaning to discourage you, but that's part of it.
Well, maybe I'll marry a mathematician. I don't know.
And how is that going to help you?
He can decipher all the statistics that I'm reading in the stupid, boring journals. Besides, no one can. I don't know.
Yeah.
Boy.
You know, the thing is this, Loki. Just follow the book. But this is definitely a subject that you want to be able to approach the professor. And if he tells you can't come to me, then this is dangerous. I mean, you're never going to make it.
I
through
know.
A fucking class like
I
this.
I know.
You know, because I remember, I mean, I would have to go and clarify things because sometimes I would just be lost with all these fucking formulas and equations and shit.
Well, I guess I'm just going to have to be lost or go to the math. They have like a math learning center lab area where I went last year a lot, which is actually really helpful because they have a lot of students that are mostly Asian, which is fine. But, you know, English is not their first language. And so they're, again, trying to like explain things to me. And they're like so brilliant. They just look at the problem and they write out. They're like, oh, that's how you do it. Like, why don't you get it? I'm like, because I'm not Asian. That's why I don't get it. I'm like, I'm sorry to be racist, or I don't know. That's a good thing, though, if, like, you could just be brilliant. Like, I look at you and you're Asian, I think you're very smart.
Yeah. I guess that's a good stereotype.
That's a good
right?
stereotype.
Yeah.
Is that still, is that, I don't know, is that wrong to say if it's a positive stereotype?
How the fuck do I know?
I don't know. Well, I'm trying to be, like, somewhat PC, but I guess that's not at all.
Yeah. So now, I noticed you left out an important thing, and that is whether there were any hot guys in the class.
No and no.
Okay,
and
so that's why you didn't bring it up.
Yeah, I'm actually quite upset.
Really?
As I look around that campus, I kind of, I don't know, I feel a little bit snobby sometimes, and it's just like, I don't know, the kids are, like, younger, or they just don't look like they would be people that I would really be friends with.
Mm.
And I really don't find myself wanting to associate with that many of the people in my classes.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why. Everyone just looks like really bored and really doesn't want to be there, and they all just look like dolts.
Yeah, and yeah, and I think college sort of like makes you feel detached. It's not like high school, you know? It's everyone for themselves pretty much, you know?
And my boarding school was so wonderful. Like, everyone wanted to be in class so much. We would all get up and, you know, we'd, of course we'd be in our pajamas. We wouldn't even like brush our hair, and we would all just like go to class like that. And like five of us would sit around a table and just have like an amazing discussion or a debate and like help each other out with everything. And, you know, it was just so wonderful, like, learning. But here, like, my one professor last semester, my math professor, was so funny. It had been spring break, and I had drunkenly missed my plane to the Caribbean. You're probably beginning to see a pattern with these drunken planes that I miss. But so anyway, I got hammered. I was supposed to go visit my childhood girlfriend that we grew up modeling together in the Caribbean because she races yachts. And then, I don't know, her boyfriend... It kind of got a little bit hairy, but let me tell you why I didn't want to go at the last second. Her boyfriend wasn't supposed to be there, because 2 years previously, she and her boyfriend had randomly shown up in the small town in Massachusetts where I was living, and I didn't know they were in town, they didn't know I was in town, and we ran into each other, and she is gorgeous. I mean, she is just perfect. Oh my God, her breasts are unbelievable, like everything about her. She walks down the street, guys want to just drop to their knees and worship her.
Wow.
Like, I can't even tell you. Mm. I will try and get her in the studio if I can ever get her back in the country. But so anyway, it turns out that she's been having a lot of like lesbian tendencies with her boyfriend of like 7 or 8 years. And so all of a sudden, like, they would go to strip clubs and they would bring like a stripper home and they would have like, you know, a third party in their bedroom, which is fine if that's what they want to do. But so all of a sudden I run into my friend that I haven't seen in years and we get drunk, and all of a sudden she like jumps on top of me and is trying to make out with me and get all over me. And I'm like, whoa, this is really weird. You're like my childhood best friend. Mm-hmm. I don't know. She just wasn't my type, lesbian style. Right. Like, I like to be the girl. I don't want to have to open the doors for her.
Yeah.
I have way too much pride for that. But
so is that the type she was? She expected you to do things for her?
Well, she wanted me to do lots of things for her.
Wow.
And then
so were you like surprised or
I was
shocked?
Really surprised, and I was really shocked, and I just really wasn't comfortable with it. But then, you know, I kind of talked with her about it the next day, but that night, you know, her boyfriend was trying to fool around with me too, and I was kind of like, you know, I'm your girlfriend's like best friend, like please like stop trying to fool around with me. And Faraday's like, no, it's okay, like I want to watch, but just don't, you know, we have a rule, like he just can't fuck anyone else.
Right.
I'm like okay, but don't touch me. Yeah. So anyway, we all fell asleep, and the next morning Faraday hopped in the shower, and I was awoken by him trying to stick his cock in me. I was just like, whoa. And then I, like, push him off, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, this is, A, your first cardinal rule with your girlfriend, that you don't sleep with other people. And he's like, I thought you wanted it, and this and that. So anyway, I was, like, really put off by him. And so, back to my drunkenly missing the plane to the Caribbean. So she tells me at the last second that her boyfriend's going to be there. And I was like, oh, great. I really don't want to be literally stuck in the middle by you two. And so I just got hammered and missed the plane.
Wow.
But this is still all going back to this other story about my math teacher. So I took Franzi on a road trip then we ended up in Colorado, like, eating mushrooms, table dancing, and Vail.
Yeah.
So I'm tripping my face off. I'm having a grand old time, but I'm obviously too fucked up to drive back to school the next day. So the following week, the professor, and he's from Pakistan, and I have a really bad Pakistani accent, but he's like, Suzanne, where were you last Monday? Why were you not in class? I'm like, Professor, I was table dancing in Colorado, like, tripping my face off on mushrooms, and I totally couldn't make it back in time. I was so fucked up. And, like, I say this in front of the whole class, and he's like, Suzanne, you are my only student in all of Santa Monica College with a pulse. You are fucking hysterical.
Really?
And I'm like, oh, thank you, Professor.
Yeah.
And so he actually loved me and, like, gave me, like, straight A's just because I had a pulse.
Yeah.
You know, so I could interact with him at least, even though I couldn't understand everything he said.
Yeah.
But this fucker, the new professor, just sucks.
Yeah. Oh, well. You know what's interesting, though, to go back to what you were describing? It's funny.
Which description?
Because, about the friend and gorgeous and everything. Listen.
Yeah.
Listen. So, and then later you mentioned her name. Now, when you
I did?
Said. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
but,
no.
But that's okay. But it was sort of like, never mind. Nobody listen to the replay, please. But at any rate, so it's funny because when you said she's like drop-dead gorgeous,
yes.
I had someone in my mind. And the reason is because I went through some of your pictures yesterday, and there was this gorgeous girl with that name. And I knew exactly that's who you were talking about. I don't
know
why.
That's so funny.
Isn't it fucking weird?
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't she gorgeous, though?
She is. I actually sent her a friend request.
No, you did not. Are you kidding?
No.
Really?
Yeah, why?
That's just fucked up that I like totally just told you this story, and then yesterday you were like sending her a friend request.
But why is it fucked up?
Well, no, it's fucked up that like we were, I don't know, that I was just talking about it, and I don't know, it's coincidental.
Yeah.
How's that?
I figured, look, she's beautiful, we have a common friend, what the fuck?
You know? Oh, that's too funny.
So wow. She's out of the country?
I think she's in Finland right now.
Really?
She races yachts like all over the world.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, she is beautiful. Huh?
She's gorgeous.
Is she like the tall one? She's kind of tall,
no,
right?
No, she's my height.
Really?
Yeah, but the
well,
same height.
Well, you're tall.
Yeah, 5'9".
Yeah. But yeah, she was like one of the people in the picture, and she really stood out.
She just sticks
out.
Beautiful,
yeah.
Was it the one where she's holding a guitar?
No, there's just a bunch of people on the grass there, I think maybe in your school or something.
When I had really short hair?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You are so funny. That was my dyke spike. What do you think of it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'd asked you about it once, but I don't think it suits you very well.
Franzi loves it. He wants me to cut my hair into like a punk rock spike.
I actually liked your pictures with the long hair, you know. I'm a fan of long hair.
Most,
so.
You know what? A lot of... I found most guys in the country are fans of long hair,
yeah.
Except in California. Believe
really?
It or not, like with this stupid haircut that I have right now, I've gotten more compliments from men.
Really?
And from, I don't know, really superficial guys too, I find. Like a lot of the men that would come into my bar at Malibu, like they actually really like this haircut, which is weird because most people like girls with longer hair.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. I mean, it suits you, this haircut, you know. But the thing is, I think... Most men, or at least the reason I am attracted to long hair, I think it's because it's feminine. You know, it kind of makes the woman a little more feminine. And because men don't wear long hair, you know, in general.
Well, maybe when I stop wearing the pants, I'll grow my hair. Sorry,
oh,
I had to say
that's
that
funny.
One.
So what time did you get out of school? Like 10 o'clock or
10
something?
10 o'clock last night,
really?
Yeah.
Fuck, man. I could never sit in the classroom until...
Well, it was actually the biology class. I was really fucking scared going into it. I haven't had like a bio class in a million years. But it actually ended up being really fun. I made a couple of friends in that class, and I usually don't really talk to anyone, but I kind of started off the class with this one story.
Well, I'm sure the snail race was an icebreaker, right?
Yeah, it actually was. Yeah. But before that, there was a bigger icebreaker. The professor has a picture of a leopard from Africa on the projector. Mm-hmm. And he's telling us in his, where's this guy from? That guy was from Brazil. Okay, so now I have a Brazilian
Another
professor.
Accent, yeah.
Yes. And he pauses after every word he says. Like, I'm sitting in the front row, and I'm just leaning forward, like, waiting. I just want to, like, pull it out of him. He's like, and so we have the leopard. And, like, I was wondering why it was a three-hour-long class. Apparently, it's because he's a slow talker. I mean, I was sitting there like, please.
You sure not going to get a lot of material in that class?
I'm like, give me something else here. But so finally, he finally spits out this fact. He's like, that leopards can jump over 6 feet. And so I raised my hand. I was like, ooh, pick me, professor. And he's like, you. And I have a story about a leopard that can jump over 6 feet. And he's like, what? And so I tell the story about my old boss. He's the owner, the old owner of my bar in Marblehead, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. He goes big game hunting every year in Africa for like 2 months a year.
Right.
But so about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, he was in Zimbabwe and he was on a leopard hunt, his first leopard hunt. And his PH was a guy named Barry. Actually, he had two, Barry and Brent. Mm-hmm. Who are Zimbabwean guys. They're really awesome. But Brent is like 6'6" and gorgeous. I just had to throw that in there. Mm-hmm. but so anyway, it's a night leopard hunt. Mark shoots the leopard. Mm-hmm. I can use his name. He won't mind me telling the story.
Yeah.
He shoots the leopard, but he doesn't kill it. So they go back and they have to like hunt for the leopard. So they're tracking it. The leopard was hiding. It actually jumped over 6'6" Brent and landed on Mark. you know, who's not a young guy. At the time, I think he was probably, like, late 50s. Mm-hmm. The leopard lands on him, bites him in the back of the skull, and, like, rips off the top of his skull.
Wow.
Wow is right. So this is the story I'm
Did
telling.
Did he die?
No. He spent, like, 2 weeks in an African, Zimbabwean, like, field hospital before he was, like, medevaced out of there.
Fuck. Can you imagine going through that?
His head and his body like just looks like a road map. But actually, the worst part of the story was, so then Barry and Brent, the two professional hunters, are standing on top of, well, you know, next to this leopard that's like eating their client and also their friend. You know, Mark had been going over there for years and had been become very good friends with the family, yada, yada, yada. And so he's being eaten in front of his two friends. Mm-hmm. And so like they're like, all right, if we shoot the leopard, the bullet could go through the leopard. It could kill Mark. Like, what are we going to do? Right. So the younger of the two finally just, like, took the initiative and shot the leopard and tried to get it in an angle, and thank God he didn't shoot Mark.
Wow.
Or else who knows what would have... Oh. But yeah, can you imagine having to go through that?
Wow.
From, like, that's all parties' scary. Perspectives.
Yeah, that's pretty scary.
I was on a leopard hunt with him 2 years ago.
Well, I was going to ask you, because, I mean, all this time I've wanted to know about the Africa trip that you took.
Yeah.
So maybe we can talk about that when we get back.
Sure.
And we'll have some news as well. So stay tuned, and we'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Hillary Clinton. I know because of my polarizing personality, you all thought it would be a great gag to make me think that Barack Obama will be the Democratic nominee for president. Well, I just wanted to say, okay, joke's over, you got me. I don't know why I didn't catch on earlier, but man, that was a good one. As a matter of fact, am I being punked? Oh my goodness, that's it. Oh, that is hilarious. Oh, I can't believe you guys. Ashton, where are you? Oh, wow, you really had me. Anyhow, thanks for pulling such a great prank. And now I'm off to Denver to accept the Democratic nomination for president. Then it's on to the White House. See you in November.
You found the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Intoxicating, if you know what I mean. No hesitating, slip away unseen. The sound surrounding, let it flow. I've got a green light, hey baby, I'm good to go. I don't need your anger, I don't need your pain, I don't need your answer, so I'm not listening. There's the rub, that's the catch. The whole done deal, the whole shooting match. What can I say? What can I do? Wear a different hat or pull a disappearing. Act on you. I don't need your anger. I don't need your pain. Surrounding, let it flow. I've got a green light, hey baby, I'm good to go. I
When I am traveling around the world and have internet connections, I like to gently cup up my balls and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's very nice.
All right. Thank you, Borat.
I like that music that's playing in that song. It reminds me of one of my favorite songs.
Really? Which one is
that? Smack My Bitch Up.
Oh, yeah? Does that...
It's got a sound in the back. It goes, well, it's kind of like a hardcore. It's by Prodigy, and it's like a hardcore song, and it's like, smack my bitch up. Meow.
Yeah.
But then at one point, it's like, oh.
Yeah. I know. I kind of found this music bed, and I thought, it's kind of like world music, so it kind of went with the Borat.
I like it. Oh, you put that together yourself?
Yeah.
Oh,
but
I'm impressed.
Greg did the Borat thing, yeah. I mean, obviously, all the voices
are gently cut my balls.
Yeah.
I can't do any accent. Oh, man. Never mind.
But, I mean, this is like a dead-on Borat, you know? Have you seen the movie?
I haven't seen it still.
You haven't seen the movie.
No.
Yeah.
There are so many out there that I still really need to see.
But you really need to see that. I mean, you would love it. You'd laugh so hard.
Well.
And there's something to learn from that movie, and that shows you how racist people still are in America and phony and shit like that. So he really exposes us for what we are, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing.
I didn't know there was a deeper meaning to it, Sam.
There is. But there's some gross parts as well. And,
yes, perfect.
Yeah. I mean, this fat guy puts his ass right on his face, on Borat's face.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh. He probably deserved it, though.
Yeah, well, they were fighting on the bed in the hotel room.
Pillow fighting?
Yeah, but there were some really funny parts there. So you got to catch that movie.
Okay, I promise I will.
All right.
When I'm not studying for my math and my biology.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you watch American Idol?
I used to. You know what? My favorite part of American Idol is the tryouts.
Oh, really?
I think those are fucking hilarious. And then once that's over, I don't know. I don't get into it anymore.
How about you?
You like it?
I've never really gotten that into it myself. And I don't know. I just find myself kind of like missing out on all these things that people get crazed about.
I know.
And it's so funny because my mom's a music teacher, and so she and a chorus teacher, so she absolutely loves the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So we've got some news here about American Idol.
Okay, let's hear.
They're adding a fourth judge this season, and the Grammy-nominated songwriter Cara DioGuardi is joining the gang. And while she's not a household name, she has written and produced songs for Idol veterans David, I don't know how to say that, Archuleta, Kelly Clarkson, and Carrie Underwood, along with other artists such as Christina Aguilera, Gwen Stefani, and Celine Dion.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
So they're going to have four judges now? Why do they feel they need that, I wonder?
I don't know. That kind of seems like it would put it like at a dead, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You need an odd number in order to have like a winning vote.
Absolutely.
It's like having an even number on a jury.
Right.
That's kind of stupid.
Yeah. Not only that, but I think they've done very well. I mean, why would you try and change it? I guess they're trying to keep it fresh or something, but...
Probably, and they couldn't kick any of the old ones off.
Yeah. But I don't know, unless she's really, like, endearing, then I don't think people are going to go for that.
You know?
I think... Because it's been... How many seasons has it run already?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Like 8, maybe, or something?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. I mean, that's a long time to get used to the judges, to the panel, and now they're going to change it. So I'm wondering
Absolutely.
How that's going to work. But,
oh, well.
But yeah, I mean, you know, you ask me, I don't know, I just know the names of the winners. Carrie Underwood and all these other...
Kelly Clarkson. She's actually unbelievable.
Yeah, she's really good.
She's got a set of pipes on her.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it's been downhill since she won in the first show.
I agree.
But actually, Carrie Underwood is pretty good. I mean, she's become really big in country music.
Yeah, she has. I'm not really that familiar with her music. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not either, but I just read up on it, and I find out that she's really like a big star in Nashville.
Ever since like the first run of like all of these reality shows, especially like America's Next Top Model, it's like everything else that comes kind of after that, it's like it's all been done.
Yeah.
It's all just like a repeat with like new faces.
It is.
Like there are only so many things that people can say to each other, like on the America's Next Top Model, like, "You fat! I hate you, Shaniqua! Oh, you stole my shoes! Oh, no, you thin girlfriend!" And I flip through it, and I just see it on, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, this is such trash.
Yeah.
Like, what are people watching?
Yeah.
They could be watching The Young and the Restless, for God's sake. Seriously.
There you go.
Ay-ay-ay.
You should start a move. You should start a movement of people to watch.
Maybe I'll have a topless Young and the Restless march.
Yeah.
I wanted to
remind everyone that our phone number has changed. You can call us into the studio live at 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. And you can find that number on the website. And, of course, if you want to call us on Skype, the name is LA Talk Radio.
Oh, no. I was just looking at this about Andy Dick. Did you hear what happened to him?
Oh, yeah. We discussed it a couple weeks ago, right?
Oh, yeah.
He was caught. Okay, he attacked this girl and pulled her shirt down when he was really drunk. So what is there any developments now?
Well, it says he was formally charged following his arrest back in July. And while Dick was charged with assault, public intoxication, and possession of marijuana and Xanax without a prescription.
Okay.
Well, that's, you know, who doesn't? Everyone has Xanax without a prescription. He did dodge a major bullet. They decided not to charge him with sexual battery after he allegedly walked up to a 17-year-old girl outside a bar and grabbed her tank top and bra and pulled them down and exposed her breasts.
Yes.
Oh, no. One other little nugget regarding this arrest. It was revealed that after Dick was escorted back to the holding area, an officer noticed that his pants were soaked from the waist area to the ankles.
Oh,
yes,
my God.
The moisture came from inside his pants. When the officer asked why he didn't ask to use the restroom, Dick said he didn't want to knock on the window like a caged animal. Oh, no. He'd rather piss himself?
He's so fucking weird, you know?
Oh, my God.
But the funny thing is that he's been trying to pass himself as hetero for all these years, and yet he talks like the biggest flaming queen ever, you know?
Yeah.
And so he still won't come out 100% and admit it. He says he's bi now, you know? And he has been, he has dated women before, but he talks gay.
Wow. Yeah, I would definitely agree with you on that.
You know? That's that's Andy Dick. So,
so
they didn't charge him for the sexual assault?
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was like the biggest deal there.
Maybe the girl decided not to press charges or something. Maybe she liked it. I don't know.
Yeah. What would you have done? I mean, you probably would be pissed, huh?
Well,
I mean, if someone, let's say it is Andy Dick that pulls down your shirt and
I don't know what I would do. I think I would just I don't know.
You wouldn't mind, right?
It depends on what kind of like I don't mind doing it myself, or I don't mind, like, I don't know. I guess it just depends on the situation. It depends on if I was out drinking, if I was with friends, if I was, you know, just leaving a business meeting with some very important people.
Yeah.
If I was at a park with children, you know, it just really depends on the situation.
It really depends on your mood, too, right?
It depends on my mood, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm all about the fun and games. Apparently, after,
and you like to expose yourself.
And so. I like to expose myself. Apparently, I was, like, jumping rope somewhat naked. Not completely naked, but apparently I had cake all over myself, so I took my dress off and was just in my underwear.
Where was that?
This was at one of our bike rides a little while ago.
Oh, okay. So you stayed in your underwear?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
And I saw the pictures later on.
No problem with that.
But if it was a situation like that, obviously it would be no problem. If someone just came up and assaulted me, I would probably be a little bit disturbed.
Yeah. I would imagine.
Even if it was Andy Dick, I mean, like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Would you consider yourself an exhibitionist?
Yes, I guess I would.
You would, huh? I mean, because I was thinking about it. I mean, you made the trip all the way back from Vegas to show off your boobs.
Well, I also kind of felt like, well, I was also discussing this with my father. You know, I was like, you know, it's not so much that I want to necessarily go and show off my boobs, even though I did. Mm-hmm. I also, like, I made a commitment, and I told people on the air that I was going to be there.
Wow.
And, you know,
I kind of
felt like I should go and follow through with and be good to my word. I'd still felt very badly about not going to Porn Star Karaoke, but I couldn't go. Like, I was kind of sick. And I had no voice. Yeah. And it just would have made things worse and exacerbated the whole situation.
Well, fuck that. That was a commitment to a porn star. It doesn't count.
Well, I still wanted to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I did. I know you would have gone. I mean, you love going and doing things.
Yes.
And I was going to say, you mentioned your father, and I did see the pictures from Vegas.
Oh.
And I finally got to see your family. You know?
Oh.
So, I mean, because we never really discussed your sister at length or anything.
Yeah.
But she's beautiful.
She ain't no dog.
No, she's beautiful.
Isn't she gorgeous?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't look like you, though.
You know, a lot of people say we don't look alike at all.
No.
When I have, like, longer blonde hair, we kind of look more alike, I feel. But our facial structure is definitely different. I kind of have a little bit of my mom and my dad, and I don't really think she looks like either.
Right. And she's older, right?
Yeah, she's 2 years older.
2 years older.
Which actually, it pisses me off, and she loves it so much. Because, you know, she drinks, but she doesn't party like I do at all.
Right.
I mean, she taught me how to party when I was little. You know, she took me out and got me high and, you know, thought it was really funny, like, take her little sister out to get drunk. And when she went to Notre Dame, I was really little, and she would take me out there and, like, get me wasted with the football players. And, you know, those were the good days of puking tequila. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Anyway, so she definitely does not party anywhere near as hard as I have or do. And now people have always started asking us, oh, who's older? Yeah. And I'm always like, she is! Can't you tell? I'm 2 years younger! Look at me, I'm the baby! And people are like, oh, we thought you were the older sister, Susie. And I, like, want to lunge at them and, like, wring their neck. And my sister's like, that's what you get for drinking and smoking and partying and doing all the things that you do. Dr. Mimi says you shouldn't do these things.
Wow.
So I just want to, like, argh. But yeah, she is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Wow. And smart and wonderful.
So she lives back east now?
Washington, D.C.
Oh, I see.
And okay. She's a doctor.
She's a doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of a doctor is she?
General family or family medicine.
Oh.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Wow.
But for the Army. She's actually an Army captain.
Really?
When she finished her master's at Georgetown in physiology, my parents were like, we're not paying for you to go to med school. We paid for enough of your school. And she joined the Army and got commissioned as a captain. And, yeah.
Really? So when did she have time to go through all the schooling? I mean, she's got to be 28, right?
She's done nothing but school. I mean, she hasn't had like a life like me where she's traveled around and lived in a million different places.
Right.
You know, she went from high school. She went to a public high school.
So 10 years. Well, when did she become a doctor?
Last year.
Last year. So
exactly a year ago.
So it's about 9 years or so she went to school. Wow.
And she hasn't stopped. Like with me, you know, I go a semester, I take some classes. I go to Africa for a semester, I come back. You know, I moved to Colorado. Fuck around. And so that's why I'm kind of on like my 20-year plan. And my family's like, what are you doing? Why can't you be more like your sister?
20-year plan? What's that plan?
Well, I started school, let's see, 8 years ago now. And by the time I get my doctorate, it probably will be about 20 years.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Good. It'll be just in time.
I know. But this way, I don't have to pay my student loans. I can keep, you know, pushing them back. I'm still in school. What can I say?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's how, I mean, this shows how amazing it is that people are different, you know, even within the same family. You
absolutely.
Know? Yeah, I mean, it's boring when everybody's the same.
And we are definitely quite different.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
it
doesn't matter that you come from the same family, but, you know, you come into this world, you've got your own journey, your own this.
And your own personality right from the start. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Actually, this was kind of funny. My dad has this like handy person that comes over the house to fix things and like fix the light bulb in the pool, and he also does a lot of the lawn maintenance, and he also has a detailing business for cars. So he was in the house when I woke up one morning, and my sister and Judy were actually standing there talking to him, but they were both fully clothed. And I come prancing out of my room in my bikini, and I was like, hello, oh, hi, darling, I'm Susie, fabulous to meet you. Going out for the pool, and I grab my beer, and I pop it open at like 9 in the morning, and he's just like, you two sisters are nothing alike. And he was from Florida, but he had like a little bit of a southern accent.
Yeah.
And so next thing you know, he had my car keys in his hand. And I was like, what are you doing with my car keys? And he's like, oh, I have to move your car to do like the lawn and the maintenance and everything. You know, the sprinklers are going to go off. I was like, oh, okay, fine. And I go out to the pool where I'm promptly topless sunbathing, drinking my beer at 9 in the morning. And like an hour later, my sister calls me on my cell phone while I'm like in my pool float. And I've got it in the other cup holder, and I pick it up. I'm like, why are you calling me? We're in the same house. She's like, I wanted you to know that Sean is outside detailing your car. I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, he's just detailing your car. And I was like, well, did Dad pay him to detail my car? And she's like, I don't think so. I think he got in to move your car and was so disgusted that he just chose to do it out of the goodness of his heart.
Wow.
And he actually did. He was like, your car's an embarrassment to the neighborhood. He's like, I don't want other people, like, blah, 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 seeing your car in the street. I was like, excuse me, I have a really cute Mini Cooper that just has a lot of dirt on it, and it's really messy, and, you know, In-N-Out burger all over the floor.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you would have a heart attack in my car.
But you know what? I got to tell you. Well, I've seen it.
But he just totally detailed it. This is like the fifth time I've had a random guy just, like, take my car and detail it for
really?
Me. Yes. Wow. And expect nothing in return.
Yeah. See, guys are such fucking, you know.
Suckers.
Suckers. They really are.
He does. I don't know why, but yeah. Guys always seem to do these things for me.
Yeah. Good for you. Well, and you've realized you have this power a long time ago, and use it. Why not?
But I didn't do anything. I just pranced
out. No, but that's the point.
And he was just, he couldn't get over it, but he was just like, Mimi, he's like, if your car were here, I would detail it too. And Mimi's like, you wouldn't need to. My car's spotless.
Yeah.
Her car's perfect, and my car's blemished just like me.
Yeah. You know, I've got to tell you that most American women I've met have really messy cars.
Really?
Yeah. Now, wouldn't you say that a car is a good indication of what the home's going to look like, too?
You know what? I've actually just started thinking about that a little bit. Yeah. When I've been on, like, my apartment and my housing search, I was like, if people come out and they walk me out to my car and they see my car is, like, an absolute disaster area, they're going to be like, we don't want to rent to this girl. Oh, my God, she must be a mess.
Yeah. I'm wondering if that's true, though, because, I mean, how can you be, like, really organized and clean at home and yet throw all your junk in your car?
Well, I either have all my junk in my car or all my junk in my apartment. It depends on if I'm on the move or if I'm going to be home for a while.
Yeah.
Like right now, I have all my junk in my car because after this, I'm heading up to Malibu to go house sitting for the next week.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
In Malibu?
Yes, and nice. it's with my kitties, my three old pussies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the family that adopted them asked me to house sit while they bring their kids to school.
Oh, really?
So I'm going to go up and spend the next week with my kitties.
That's cool.
I know.
Is that a nice house? Have you been there?
It's a beautiful house, really? All the way at the top of a mountain. It's absolutely a little slice of heaven.
Really?
Actually, a big slice of heaven.
Yeah.
And I'm really
excited.
Well,
you better not get wild there, you know? I mean,
I'm getting wild there all by myself.
Yeah,
I'm going to have
yourself,
a barbecue.
Maybe, but, yeah.
I'm going to be in the hot tub every night.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you can invite people, but it's just you don't want to trash the house.
Oh, no, I know. And I'm only going to have people over that they trust, like a couple of my girlfriends that I met through them. Mm. Like they already said, oh, you know, have sleepovers, have the girls up to the house. And so we're just going to have some girl time. And Franz is in the doghouse right now because he still was not home by the time I left for work this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Grrr! So I took the cable box with me.
What does he do?
Nothing.
He just kind of crashes wherever he is?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea. We got in a fight last night, so that's why he took off. Mm. And I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to disappear
for the
week.
What do you have here?
Oh, that's my scar.
Did you always have this?
Yeah. I just have bangs usually that are covering it.
I see. Yeah. Between your eyes, you have like sort of like a line. It doesn't look like a scar.
It's like my Harry Potter scar.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of... actually, that's... Did you want to get back to Africa?
Yeah, we could go everywhere.
Well,
yeah,
this
but
scar is from Africa.
Really?
The very first time I was there and I decided to go hunting for a zebra, I was in a bikini and my pink iPod, which were my what do you call it? Earplugs. So the sound of the gun like didn't blow my ears out. Mm-hmm. But so anyway, I see my zebra and I lift the rifle up to my head. My military training kicked in. It was really kind of fucked up and scary and weird. And it was like breath control, trigger squeeze, target down. And I'm like, oh my God, that's the first thing I've killed in my life that wasn't a mosquito. Oh my God, this is really fucking weird.
Yeah.
But so anyway, Barry, the PH, the same PH from the story I told previously with the leopard, he ran back to me and he grabbed the gun, a 30-06, and he goes charging forward to the zebra to make sure it's dead. That way it's not suffering. And I'm standing there, like, just kind of shaking from the adrenaline, like, and the fact that I killed something. Because I was an animal rights activist for a long time. And so that was a big kind of change of pace for me to go start hunting big game. Yeah. But so all of a sudden, like, my eyes, nose, and mouth fill with blood. And I put my hands up to my face, and my hands are covered in blood.
Wow.
And I look down at my boobs, and I'm just like, ah, my boobs are covered in blood. So I start screaming. And I'm like, Barry, oh, my God, I shot myself. I'm like, I broke my nose. Oh, my God. I'm freaking out because I can't find where the blood's coming from. I can't feel any pain. And I know a lot of the times, like, when people shoot themselves, like, you know, they go numb. And so I'm thinking, I really shot myself. So he comes running back, and he takes one look at me, and he lifts my chin up, and he's like, stupid girl. He's like, you got kissed by the scope. I was like, what?
Oh, what?
I was like, that was not a nice kiss. And he was like, well, that's what we call it, a scope kiss.
Wow.
So basically, I was using Mark's rifle, well, it's 30-06, and it was, he's an old man, so he's blind, and it was made for his, custom made for his shoulder to eye distance.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I pick it up, never having fired it before, and not having kind of like set it to my own shoulder to eye distance, the only way I can get the gun steady was to pull it into my shoulder really tight and also lean my forward, or my forehead far, forward. Forehead forward. And so the scope came back, and it went kabam, and it literally, like, split my head open.
What?
Yeah, it went...
Wow.
Like, right in between my eyes, and it went just like a zigzag, looked like a huge lightning bolt.
Wow.
You're
really lucky it didn't go in your eye.
Oh, I know.
And you would have lost your eye.
Trust me, I know.
Wow.
And so everyone's like, oh my God, did you get stitches? I'll show you some other pictures that are, you'll be like, whoa.
Really?
So people
are
like...
full of blood?
They're full of blood, but it's just a creepy, huge gash in the middle of my head. But people are like, did you get stitches? And I was like, hell no. Like, 2 weeks actually prior to that, 12 people had died in a van accident that got overturned because it took an ambulance like 18 hours to get there.
Wow.
And so I'm like, stitches, you're in the bush. Like, yeah. There's nowhere to get stitches.
Yeah.
I tied a dirty, sweaty bandana around my head and had some vodka.
Now, what were you doing in a bikini in the jungle?
It was hot.
Yeah. But still, I mean, there's fucking bugs and animals and all kinds
of
creatures.
Well, the first time I was there, it was from May to June. And that was actually a very good time to go. And there really weren't very many bugs at all.
Mm.
It was actually just the perfect temperature. Well, actually, it got really cold at night and in the early morning. But it got very warm in the afternoon and early evening.
Mm.
And so in the day, you know, I was sitting on the top of the safari truck, like listening to my iPod and my bikini. The natives had no fucking clue what to do with me. They were absolutely just the funniest people ever. Like, I have these two guys sitting next to me, like Sortsi was the one guy who was like 90, and he was a tracker.
Mm-hmm.
So he had been tracking wounded animals like his whole life. That's what he was trained to do.
Really?
But so I would like be like, Sortsi, you want to listen to my iPod? And I would stick my iPod in his ears. And the music in Zimbabwe is censored, so they're not used to hearing much
really?
Of anything.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden he's hearing, put it in my mouth. I said, my motherfucking mouth. If you would just eat me out, you could eat me out. Well, you could lick it, you could stick it, you could taste it. I'm talking every drip drop, don't you waste it. And so he's like, oh my God, he fucking just didn't know what to do.
Wow.
He rips the iPod out of his ears and he gives it back to me and he's like, thank you, no more. But the younger generation of Zimbabweans were just in love with it. They were just rocking out and dancing and everyone was fighting over my iPod. I actually wrote a letter to Mac saying if I can get a whole bunch of iPods downloaded and like sent over there as like a donation.
Yeah.
Because I have electricity and things in the camp, and the white camp manager has a computer, so they would be able to charge it. But nothing ever happened of that. Yeah. I've just never seen so much joy from like someone listening to music.
Wow,
it was just so cool.
Yeah,
but yeah, so I kind of culture shocked them, and like you know, their women weren't even naked all the time over there. Like they were when they were doing laundry and things like that. But I don't know. One day we went fishing and. This one guy was wearing no pants as he's fishing, and he's wearing a shirt. And I walk over, I'm like, dude, where are your pants? And he like squatted into the water, and so his like dick was dangling in the water. And I'm like, get up, dude, get up, like a crocodile can bite that shit off. And I'm like, where are your pants? And he's like, I only have one pair. He's like, if I get them wet, he's like, I'll be cold tonight. And I'm like, oh. So like, I left Africa with no clothes. I gave them all of my clothes. I literally had, like, an empty suitcase except for, like, my souvenirs and things.
Oh,
and so they're walking around wearing shirts that say, I love the USA. And, like, ride a cowboy, you know, save a horse. all their stupid little...
You gave them all that shit?
I gave them all my clothes.
Wow.
It was pretty funny. But, yeah, so good times over there. But I will say, the next time I went back, I went in October and November, and I tried to do the same thing the very first day I was out for a hunt, bikini clad. And I really should not have been bikini clad that time of the year.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, the guys, what do you call them, my trackers that were with me, they were all wearing, like, the equivalent of, like, ski suits and, like, winter
really?
Hats. And it was really hot this time of year. And they looked at me, and they're like, you don't want to be wearing that mini skirt and that bikini top.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, shut up, I'm fine. You know, and they're like, oh, you'll see. And I'm like, oh, shut up, I'll be fine. It's even hotter than the last time when I was here. Because Susie knows best. You know, I know everything.
Yeah.
No one can tell me what to do or what not to do.
Yeah. So I think we established that already.
I know. But next thing you know, I got bit in the ass by a tsetse fly.
Really?
Yeah.
And what's that?
A tsetse fly? Yeah. It is the most horrific bug you have ever seen in your entire life.
Really?
It is a huge, huge, huge fly. It bites, and it feels like a horse bit you in the ass.
Really?
And I had this huge red welt, and like the natives were dying laughing as I'm bent over with my miniskirt lifted up, but I'm running around backwards trying to look at my ass, and like,
yeah.
Like I seriously thought like half of it was missing.
Yeah.
It's so painful.
I wonder what they do when they see a hot white woman. You know, I mean, it's like totally strange to them. Does it turn them on? Probably, huh?
Well, again with my naivete, when I was leaving, you know, all of the guys and especially all of the younger single guys that were like in their 20s, I kind of befriended them and I thought that they knew it was just like a friend level. Mm-hmm. But so, you know, their English, they could write a little bit of English and they would all write me like these little letters and have their addresses on them about how they wanted to have a white American friend and how it was very important for them to have a nice white American girlfriend, and if I could please like be their American girlfriend, and maybe if I would come back. And so I was just like, oh, they want to be my friend. And Mark was like, you're fucking stupid, because he's a miserable grumpy bastard. He's like, you're fucking stupid. He's like, you don't know what these people want. They just want to fuck you. They just want to ravage you. And I'm like, no, they just want to be my friend.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, Susie, yeah. Don't be so naive.
Yeah, ravage you is correct.
Yeah, so apparently like well, I don't know if did I tell you the story briefly about how I even decided I wanted to shoot the zebra?
No.
So we got to camp and Barry the PH was off in Botswana because someone else had like wounded an animal and it had gone from Zimbabwe to Botswana, which creates like a huge problem going with a wounded animal going between countries because then you have the issue of the permits and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So he was late. And so there are the white camp managers and the black camp managers. And the black camp manager was this guy named Simon. And I was like, hi, Simon, what's up? And he's like, oh, and Susie, nice to meet you. And he's got his dreads. And I was like, I don't want to sit around camp all day. I'm like, why don't we go take me for a day in the life of Simon? And he's like, okay, we go to Victoria Falls. And so I was like, all right, let's go to Victoria Falls. And so all of a sudden the white camp manager came over and he was like, you do not go with him. He's a chimp. And I was like, excuse me? I was like, did you just say that? I was like, I'm paying to be here. I will go with him if I want to. Like, yeah. And do not call him that, like, in my presence. You know, that's just really uncalled for. They're so racist over there.
Really, yeah.
The white people. But so anyway, I go with Simon, and we've got our driver, Lovejoy, and here we go bouncing away in the van, and all of a sudden I look behind me because I smell something, and I'm like, what is that? And there's a machete that's covered in blood sitting on top of a cooler, and there's blood, like, seeping out of the sides of the cooler as we're bouncing along, which point, Sam, I'm telling you, like, my heart just, like, went straight up into my throat, and I'm like, wow. Oh, fuck. I'm like, this is why I was told not to go with these people. They're going to slaughter me. They're going to put me in a cooler.
Yeah, chop you up and put the pieces in the cooler.
They're going to rape me and then eat me. Wow. But so I was like, Simon, what is that? And he's like, open it. And I open it and machete goes clunk to the bottom of the van. And I'm like, oh. And it's all like a rotten, bloody, you look like you're going to puke.
I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop here.
No, it's this carcass of like some kind of like not FDA approved animal by any means, and it's just fucking blah. And there are flies all over it and everything. And I was like, "What the fuck is that, Simon? What the fuck is that?" And he's like, "It's a zebra." I'm like, "You mean that was a zebra like a long time ago?" Mm. But anyway, so I slam the lid back down. And he's like, "Do you want wine for your dinner?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Do you want eggs for your breakfast?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, well, we've got to go and, like, bribe people and trade. And so we literally had to go and, like, feed, A, his family that the government is starving out of existence over there, and all of their other friends. They literally had their belongings tied to their backs, and they had nowhere to go.
Really?
Like, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people just milling around Victoria Falls, all of them homeless and unemployed because of Mugabe. And, like, we see it all over the news today.
Right.
All of the human rights violations that are going on over there and just how it's spiraling out of control. But so we literally went and we fed like his village of people with this rotten zebra meat. And then we also used the rest of it to bribe the police chief to give us wine, which was illegal, and to get eggs for breakfast. And so the very next day I was like, Simon had asked me, he's like, you know what, if you shoot a zebra, you know, you'll get a sweet rug back in the States, which I still have.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, imagine having sex on the zebra rug. And I was just imagining having sex on the zebra rug. It sounded so hot. You know, just kind of like, I don't know. Jungle passion. Never mind. So, so anyway, next day I shot my zebra, split my head open. I have a sweet rug, and a village of people ate. So,
Yeah.
Ended up working out for all parties involved. All out of one zebra.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing?
Very interesting.
But people now tell me I shot a horse.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You did?
Kind of.
That's what a zebra is.
Looks more like a referee.
Yeah. So, I mean, did you feel any remorse or something?
I actually had nightmares for a while after doing that. I did.
Yeah.
It was kind of disturbing to me.
Yeah.
And then everyone just kept coming up. And then there was, like, a huge celebration at the village because it was, like, my first hunt and my first kill. And all of the native people were just so happy and proud.
Yeah. But was, so what was the
feelings.
Urge? But what was the urge you had to go and kill an animal?
I didn't really have the urge. Like, Simon, I saw firsthand, like, what people looked like that were completely starved, like, literally being starved out of existence by this president. And Simon had asked me, he's like, if you do it, he had stolen that zebra carcass, like, illegally from the camp because it was illegal for him to go and bring that meat into town. And so if I went and hunted the zebra, like, I could legally give him, like, the animal.
Really?
And so that was kind of the urge that made me do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never had the urge to go and, like, kill something here to feed people.
Yeah.
But
back there it seemed okay, huh?
Back there it seemed okay. I mean, those people were just so helpless.
Wow.
And it was the most heart-wrenching thing I'd ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And then the next year I went back and shot an impala, and the next year I shot a wildebeest.
Really?
Uh-huh.
So you like Africa a lot.
I love Africa. It's
Africa's
one of my favorite
beautiful,
places.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that I'd go to any of the backward countries there, but South Africa was good for me because it's westernized enough, you know?
I think you're spoiled.
Yeah, I am.
I think you
5-star hotel.
I was just about to say that. Yeah. You don't want to go camping. You want to be in a 5-star hotel.
No, I do want to go camping. But
really?
You
have to have like a bathroom, though, if you go camping.
Probably an RV or something.
You're camping. No. That's not camping. That's
I know.
Bullshit.
I'm kidding. I used to love camping when I was young, you know, but it just hasn't been the opportunity to do that. But, I mean, if I go, if I travel, I like to travel in style and stuff, you know, with comfort and all that. But, so that's why I don't really go to the Far East and all that. It just doesn't appeal to me that much. But, you know, what can I tell you? But I admire people that go to Africa. I mean, actually, when I was auditioning some girls, two other girls also had taken trips alone to Africa.
Really?
Which is amazing to me, you know?
Wow.
I mean, all you young girls going there by yourselves and stuff, you know? It's really amazing.
Why is that so amazing?
Because it's a dangerous world out there, you know?
Oh,
and
it's
in Africa, there's no fucking rules. You know?
That is one thing that did get pretty scary, actually, the second time when I was there, because, you know, the president had been really closing in on the very few white minority farm owners.
Right.
And so the family that we had been staying with, you know, Barry and his wife, we didn't know if we were going to have electricity that day, if we were going to wake up in the middle of the night and have the police come in and, like, kick us out and, like, take over the farm. I mean, it was, like, literally living in fear every single day.
Mm.
And just experiencing the reverse racism myself
right.
was actually a very, very daunting experience.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, you're on the receiving end now. Not that you... Not that you're racist here, but but sometimes I guess it turns back on you. You know, it's just it depends where you are.
Yep.
You know.
Definitely.
Let's take another break, and we'll be back right after this.
Okay. Yes. Thank you so much for coming. Don't be stranger. Bye bye now. Bye. Everybody gone? Okay. Good. Testing. 1, 2. Attention, people of China. Olympics are now over. Fill Olympic pool with toxic waste. Underage gymnasts, back to work at factory. No ever talk to press again. And finally, restart factories. Now this is what I call China.
You're locked in to LA Talk Radio, the home of irreverent, entertaining, and cool talk. We say what we want.
There's something about the way you try to look. It's getting right to me. Than it really should. What are you, an angel, or just looking that good? When
right here on LA Talk Radio.
So that was your story of Africa for today.
Yes. What do you think of it?
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Well, you looked like you were going to fall asleep through most of it.
Well, it has
hopefully
nothing to do
with... Hopefully our listeners didn't fall asleep.
No, it has nothing to do with the story, really. I mean, some days I just come in here really tired. And you see how I look like I'm dozing off here?
Uh-huh.
That's how I am in the car.
Don't fucking tell me that.
I'm telling you.
Sam, that's awful.
And you know, I get stuck in this portion on the 101 that's always like 10 to 15 minutes of stop-and-go traffic. Mostly stop. And it
so
just
dangerous.
Makes me crazy. It makes me crazy because it gets like so mesmerizing and hypnotizing that, you know. But
you should ride your bicycle here.
Yeah, there you go.
What do you think of that?
You out of your mind.
You
I would have never done what you did here. Come
you were
with
telling,
a bike.
Well, I don't know. How many miles is it from your house to here?
Also about 15.
It really isn't that bad. I mean, on the way up, you might have a little bit of a problem. Isn't there a hill?
Yeah. You're out of your mind. Do you really think I'm in shape for that shit?
Well, maybe if you start riding a little bit, maybe start with a little ride around the block or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can totally see myself going back to being like a health nut and stuff eventually because, you know, I'm not getting any younger, and I think the body just can't take this shit anymore.
Yeah, I know? Definitely hear that. I feel like I'm getting older every day that goes by.
Yeah, you're so old.
But I will say, becoming a morning person is it's starting to become a lot easier.
Really?
I've been getting up before my alarm goes off
wow.
a lot lately.
I'm proud of you.
I know. Yeah. And it's so weird. I just have such long, full days.
Yeah.
And it's like by the time 11 o'clock at night comes around, I'm exhausted and I can't wait to go to bed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like I don't even need to stay up and have that extra bottle of wine.
Exactly.
So this is actually good for me as well.
How long does it take you to finish a bottle of wine?
Not very long.
No? Wow.
I could finish one probably in half hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not bad?
I mean, no. But, I mean, it would take, you know, I mean, for me, just to finish one glass of wine could probably take me the whole night. You know? But do you like the flavor?
One glass the whole night?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No. And
oh,
I mean,
my God.
Yeah, I wouldn't even be drinking it. I just have a couple sips to be polite. I'm not a wine person.
Oh,
you know,
God.
I like champagne. I like
I love champagne.
Cocktails, you know, beer.
I love rosé.
Yeah.
I love beer.
Do you like Spumante at all?
I do, yeah? Actually.
It's like that sweet French champagne.
Definitely.
And it's Italian, right?
Asti yes, Spumante, yes.
Yeah. And I used to love those. I drink those all the time, you know.
I also like dessert wines. Really nice dessert
Yeah, that
wines.
One is dessert wine, I think. Right? When it's a little sweet, it's dessert wine,
yep.
I think.
But dessert
or
wine.
Dessert champagne, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God, they're so good. Dolce is one of my favorites. Mm.
Yeah. So you don't get sick from the taste and everything?
I love it.
Really?
Absolutely love it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
amazing.
What I get for being a wino.
Yeah.
Did you hear about what's going on with like Hayden Panettiere? You don't even know who she is, do you?
Hayden Panettiere.
Yeah.
No, I don't know who that
she's
is.
She's one of the hotties that's on the show Heroes.
Okay.
Have you seen that movie or that show?
You know, I watched the first one because somebody, a friend of a friend of a friend, apparently wrote the script or something. So we were told pretty much watch the show. So we watched the first one. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But like I told you, I can't get into series. So,
but
I know it's doing very well and it's a good show.
It is a good show. But it's one of those ones you really have to pay attention like right from the beginning. Like you can't kind of like just pick it up like mid-season and actually understand what's going
on. Oh, really?
On,
yeah.
Which kind of, I don't know, that's fine for me. But like I would miss an episode here and there and then I would try and catch up and then I would realize I was behind that I had missed something and then I'm completely lost in what's going on.
Yeah.
So it is a good show, but you really have to kind of pay attention to, I don't know, the sequence of things as it goes along. But anyway, so she's been having some problems with her family, and she's speaking out on her father's domestic violence arrest earlier this month, which has been all over the tabloids.
Mm-hmm.
The family had attended a charity event in Hollywood where mom and dad got into an argument, which got physical after they got home. And despite a police report saying that mom showed signs of being on the receiving end of some physical abuse, Hayden is going along with her parents' line that the whole thing was greatly exaggerated.
Wow.
And she told Extra that it was blown way out of proportion by a sheriff who wanted his 15 minutes of fame. My family is wonderful, so very happy. We're all great. Now, for her to like kind of like say that much, mm-hmm. we're perfect, we're fabulous, yeah. everything's fine, you know, everything's picture perfect, leave us alone. You know, you've got to kind of feel badly for her that she's yeah. kind of put in the spotlight.
But can you imagine growing up in a home like that, you know, where you see your dad beating up your mom and shit?
Well, we don't necessarily know like that it's like that all the time or that it ever has been.
No,
or
well, I think if it happens once, it probably happened before.
Really?
You know, or happened. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Wow.
I don't know, because, I mean, if you can hit somebody, then you can hit them at any age, and at any point, I suppose, you know. It's just that need to control, you know, and if somebody doesn't do what you want,
yeah.
or doesn't listen. Yeah, she did listen, that's why I shot her.
What's that know? What's that that awful joke? It's like, I'm going to totally mess this one up, but it's like, you know, why did your wife get, or, like, why did the wife have, like, two black eyes? Because yeah. she didn't do the dishes when I told her to, or something like that. That's so awful, but I totally messed that joke up. I'm so bad, actually, with repeating jokes.
Are you?
I hear them all
so
the time.
Don't do it.
I won't do it. But I hear some, and they're so funny, and I just want to, like, tell them all the time, but then I always get to the punchline, and I'm just like, oh, or I give the punchline away first, and then I go back yeah. and try and, like, do the joke.
Yeah.
People are just like, Susie, Susie, please don't even try. Oh, God. So what do you think about the Lindsay Lohan thing with her lesbian girlfriend?
Yeah, I don't know. Is that, I mean, is she a lesbian, the girlfriend, for sure?
The girlfriend, Samantha Ronson, is definitely a lesbian.
She is,
she's
okay.
definitely gay.
All right.
So
you think, so yeah, I mean, it makes sense that probably something would go on, you know?
Yeah.
Especially with Lindsay being all fucked up in any way. She doesn't really know who she is, I don't think.
I feel badly for her. Like, we grew up together in New York, and we had the same agent. We were both Ford models when we were kids and everything. And she
Are
really,
you serious?
Yeah.
Did you know her?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I grew up with Lindsay Lohan and Kirsten Dunst and Lacey from Party of Five. And
Are you serious?
Yeah.
But you're not in touch with any of them anymore, right?
No.
That was a long time ago?
No, I think my grandmother and, like, Kirsten's mom, or Kirsten's grandmother actually still keep in touch.
Wow.
Yeah, which is kind of funny. And then my grandmother came
over.
So
you could have been big, too.
We all grew up together, and
yeah.
I quit, and their parents kept pushing them, and they actually both really wanted to, well, especially Kirsten and Lindsay, they really got into it. But I just remember growing up and going to auditions with Kiki. Kirsten Dunst was always known as Kiki.
Kiki, okay.
And she would show up at auditions with her, like, her long blonde hair, and it was up in foam rollers and a hairnet, and she would get to the audition, and we're all waiting outside. And I was always kind of like the brunette, like the brown hair child,
mm-hmm.
and then Kiki was always the blonde, and then Lacey was always the brunette, because we were the same age, and we were always kind of going up against each other for the same commercials, and then whatever parents they would go with for the spot, they would pick us. If they went with, like, blonde-haired parents, you know, they would go with Kiki, or
yeah.
if they wanted, you know, a brown hair or all-American girl, they would go with me.
Mm-hmm.
But so my mom would always say, oh, you know, you've got to make eyes like Lacey, because Lacey got this one Hellman's mayonnaise commercial that I didn't get. And apparently, Lacey made bigger pie eyes than I did.
Yeah.
And so, like, one of my signature things now is, like, my mom's like, oh, make eyes like Lacey, Susie, make eyes like Lacey. And I open them, like, oh, my, oh, Hellman's mayonnaise. But Kiki was always, you know, she wasn't always the sharpest pencil in the box.
Yeah, she doesn't seem to be.
Yeah, I've always felt kind of badly for her. I mean, she did the Celebrity Jeopardy at one point.
Mm.
And my grandmother called me, actually, and was telling me. She's like, your little friend Kiki's on TV. Turn on Jeopardy. Turn on Jeopardy. And so I turned it on. And she stood there for the entire show with her hand on the buzzer, just smiling, with her curls bouncing.
Wow.
And she was just smiling and standing there with her hand poised and ready to buzz. But she didn't know anything, so she never did buzz.
Wow. That's embarrassing. Why would she even bother?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's one of
she
those
must
things.
Have known she wouldn't know shit.
No. I don't know. Maybe she thought they would dumb it down a little bit for her.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, because it was Celebrity Jeopardy, they would actually give her a script and she could read the answers and pretend.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I know. But she's some... doesn't she have something going on with her teeth and stuff? They're not straight, right?
No, they're not straight.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you'd think by now she'd get them fixed or
she
something.
She kind of likes that. She thinks it gives her a little bit of a quirkiness and
really?
Character. And I don't know. Even though I'm not an actress anymore, I don't know if you've noticed my bottom teeth.
Yes. Okay. But you can't. But bottom teeth are not as visible.
No, and I did have braces for 4 years.
Really?
I actually used to have perfect teeth.
So how does it get like this after you have braces on?
I don't know. Does your son have braces? Did I see?
They both did. Both my kids. And their teeth
gone
are
now?
Like so fucking straight now. Yeah.
Well, tell your son, both your kids, they need to wear their retainers.
Yes, that's what he told me, and they are.
Oh my God! Because I don't know. When I was a kid, and you know, I was like 14, and I was going to build a fire, and I put my retainers on top of the fireplace, and duh, heat rises. which now I know. You know, I learn these things by mistake, and then I never hopefully make them again. But anyway, my retainers melted to the top of the fireplace, and I was like, fuck, my parents are going to kill me. And so I was like, I'm not going to tell them. And every night my mom would be like, Susie, put your retainers in. And I'm like, they're in, Mom. And then, you know, obviously I wouldn't have them in.
Yeah.
And slowly my bottom teeth went back to being cramped.
Wow.
So.
That's terrible.
So children out there, if you're listening, wear your retainers.
Yeah. And that's after what? A couple of years of wearing
braces?
4 years
of wearing fucking braces.
Man.
You know, I had the clear ones on
and
top.
You've got nothing to show for it.
Well, yeah. Except my beautiful, quirky, Janique calls them my snaggle tooth on the bottom. Like, thanks a lot, Joe.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I know.
Yeah, teeth. Teeth. They never get better, only worse.
Definitely.
You know? If you don't take care of a man, fuck.
I was reading you that one little quote from that little book over there that tooth decay is like the biggest disease out there.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is awful.
I know a lot of people don't take care of their teeth at all, you know?
Franz is one of those people, and it really drives me up a wall.
Yeah.
It really drives me up.
I mean, he's a grown man.
Is it so hard to brush your teeth? I mean, seriously.
Yeah. I mean, look, I know kids are lazy to do it, but a grown man,
A grown man, seriously.
I mean, you've got to want to do it, you know?
Like, you know, when I saw you on Saturday when we were headed over the topless march, I decided to surprise him and see, like, what kind of state my apartment would be in. And the first thing I noticed when I opened the door, it smells like an animal died in there. And he literally hadn't brushed his teeth for, like, 4 days.
What?
And, like, that was, the stench.
That was the smell?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's absolutely
And he's going to get gum disease, you
he's
know?
He's totally
I mean?
Going to get gum disease. Yeah. His teeth are going to fall out.
I mean, if it already stinks, he probably does have already...
And he actually told me once that he wants his teeth to fall out because he wants to get some kind of a grill. How disgusting.
Susie,
I know. I don't know. Oh, my God. I don't know.
So he wants to look like the Jaws in James Bond?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Or like
metal teeth?
Like metal teeth,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
How disgusting. But I was like, you know what? You need to have something. You need to have some kind of root for the grill to actually adhere to. I think.
Yeah.
Isn't that the way that works?
Probably.
Therefore,
I
if
don't
your
know.
Teeth rot and fall out, you won't even be able to have a grill.
Yeah.
I was like, so you'll be grillless and toothless. Oh my God. So anyway, on another note, I was looking at this about Brad and Angelina Jolie. They actually are eligible for welfare in France.
Oh really?
Yes.
They don't make enough money.
They don't make
according
enough money as it
French.
Is. According to the French, it turns out, well, no, that just by living in France and having their babies there, the couple is eligible for almost $2,600 a month in child benefits from the government. And according to French laws, all families qualify for the subsidies regardless of their financial status.
Right, but I'll bet you nobody's getting $2,600 a month.
Well,
this has got to be based on what their lifestyle. I mean, do you think, like, everybody would get $2,600 a month?
Well, that's what it says. It says, according to French laws, all families qualify for subsidies, regardless of their financial status.
Really?
The payments include benefits for children that they had naturally and separate subsidies for their adopted kids.
Wow. We are behind on this shit. You know, we definitely need to get on the wagon with this. I mean, because it...
That's crazy.
I mean, it makes sense, though. It makes sense. You know, help people. Help people out when they have their kids, you know? I don't know where the government gets all this money, but...
I don't know. I have I kind of have a problem with some of the social systems that we have in place. You know, for instance, I have a friend who is a much older man. You know, he's over 65, and he has a much younger wife, and they went through the whole, like, in vitro fertilization process because she wanted to have a baby.
Right.
Now, she is a PhD and works full-time, you know, and makes a ton of money, and he is retired and has and does very well. You know, I don't know. He saved a lot of money.
Right.
Let's just say he's a millionaire. But so anyway, okay. He's a cheap bastard as well. And so when he went to go get his Social Security, he had his daughter with him, his new little baby. And so all of a sudden, the woman in line was like, oh, cooing and cooing at the baby. Is that your granddaughter? And he's like, no, it's my daughter. You know, because he was miserable. He was miserable that his wife wanted to have this baby. And he's like, are you fucking kidding me? I already have two grown kids. Like, fuck this.
Yeah.
But so all of a sudden, she's like, oh, if you have a daughter, you know, then she gets $1,200 a month until she's 18.
Yeah.
So this, all of a sudden, you know, she's got a really rich mother, she's got a father that's really rich, and retired, you know, so they're not paying for any child care, and all of a sudden, on top of his Social Security that he doesn't need, all of a sudden, she's getting $1,200 a month until she's 18.
Wow.
You do the math on that.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That money can be going to so many other people that actually need it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obscene. There needs to be some kind of system in place to prevent something like that from happening.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't get me all riled up.
Well, here we sure the government doesn't help anybody, you know? I mean, it's pathetic sometimes, I think.
I know.
A government has to watch out for its people. And yes, we have a capitalistic system here and so forth, but that's irrelevant, you know? I mean, it doesn't have to be a social country for it to have some social programs to help people.
For some sort of social responsibility.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just shameful for a country as rich as us to have so many poor and homeless and hungry people.
I know. It's quite distressing.
Yeah. Yeah.
What can we do?
Nothing.
Well, I'm sure something. I don't know. I'm sure there's something we can do,
Sam. Yeah, we need
Sam.
To vote somebody in that's worth something.
Who are you voting for?
Well,
should I not go there?
No, I said yesterday. I've said it many times.
Obama. That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that because we were talking to TJ and he's all, Republican.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. Oh, yeah, I vote every time, yeah.
Good.
But I vote more, I think since Reagan, I've always voted Democratic, so.
That was back a long time ago.
Democrat, yeah. So, yeah, that was a long fucking time ago. Well, but there hasn't been that... you know, I mean, what have you had? Like two Bushes to choose from and shit? You know?
Fuck. Not many choices.
No.
And actually, this is kind of funny, right? Speaking of politics, you're probably not going to see John McCain at a Madonna concert anytime soon. Madonna launched her Sweet and Sticky tour over the weekend, and part of the show involves a montage of photos during her song Get Stupid. And the photos show images of destruction, global warming, Hitler, John McCain, John Lennon, Al Gore, Gandhi, and Barack Obama. And McCain's people have had a hissy fit, saying the comparisons were unacceptable and crudely divisive, and showed she would do anything to support Barack Obama, who was also included in the photo montage, but apparently is going with the flow over it.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes you have to just kind of, like, not make a huge deal out of things like that when celebrities kind of, I don't know, put you on the spot.
And especially Madonna. I mean, she's provocative. She likes to
shock people.
She likes
to stir the pot.
Yeah, she really does, you know?
I know.
And how old is she, 50 now?
50.
She just turned 50, right?
Yes, but she actually, when she had her birthday party, she wouldn't let anyone acknowledge that she was 50.
Yeah.
Remember?
That's
the Kabbalah.
Right. Yeah.
She's 36. You told me that.
Yeah, she's 14 years younger, actually.
Me too. We all are.
Yeah, so it's amazing, though, that she's still so popular, you know. Have you heard any of her new songs at all?
Not really. You know, she's kind of gone out of favor in my mind. Mm. I kind of stopped liking her music with the Immaculate Collection.
Oh, really? You didn't like that one?
No, I love that
one. Oh, yeah.
Everyone loves that one. That's just an absolute classic.
Yeah.
But that's the last one I ever, like, really, really got into.
Yeah.
Sometimes still when I'm feeling a little bit girly and crazy, like, I'll pop in the CD and, like, roll my windows down and just, like, sing at the top of my lungs.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a virgin, like a prayer.
Yeah, but she's not as big anymore. I mean, she's definitely not around as much, you know. But maybe she will now, you know, with the tour and everything. But and I don't listen to Top 40 radio, so I don't know if they play it or not, but I'm sure they do.
I actually don't really listen to Top 40 radio either. I'm kind of stuck in my own little dance party world in my head. Driving around, dancing when I should be looking for the road.
iPods and shit.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
All that same old. Do you have any music on your iPhone?
No. No, I don't.
That's a waste.
Why?
I don't know, because you've got to get some music on it.
But the thing is, I'm never really alone to listen to music. I mean, if I'm walking on the street, I don't want to walk around. I mean,
well, like, what do you listen to in your car?
Howard Stern.
Okay, so you've got the satellite in your car?
No, I have the satellite at home, but I can record the shows on the computer, and then I put them on CDs and listen in the car.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, because otherwise you have to get
That's
like
dedication.
I love the show.
You know what?
I won't listen to anything else.
Really?
Yeah.
I've only watched Howard Stern maybe like two or three times, believe it or not.
Mm.
Do you recommend it?
Yeah,
do you think I would like it?
I think you would. I think you would. It's great, yeah.
Maybe I'll have to borrow some of these CDs from him.
Yeah, I mean, it's open format. I mean, that's where he started it all, you know, where it becomes more personality-driven than topic-driven, you know.
Ah.
And I was just reading up some stuff on it yesterday, and experts in the field of radio are saying that, you know, topic is out. You know, now people want personality, they want to relate and everything. And that's the feedback I've gotten on our show, you know. And that's really what I've always wanted, you know, is somewhere where you can just connect with the listeners, you know, share your life, share, you know, open up and stuff. Because there's just enough people talking about politics and all that garbage, you know.
Sorry, TJ.
Yeah.
You know what? You're absolutely right. I don't know. I kind of...
That's why we have shows like TJ's, and we have the Damage Report, and we have this show. So, you know, to do different things, you know, but...
I will say I always did like Bill O'Reilly.
Really?
I mean, he's a complete douchebag. I mean, yeah. He really is just an ass, but I've always kind of just loved watching his show and just the way he has people on, and I don't know, he just never gives up. He's like a pit bull.
Yeah.
And he grabs someone by the neck, and he just shakes and really? Shakes and shakes until they're lying limp.
Yeah.
I'm just like ready to like crawl away,
yeah.
Defeated.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've been listening to Howard for many years. And it's just,
it doesn't get monotonous?
No, not at all. They always keep it fresh.
Wow.
Always, yeah. I mean, they've been doing it for over 20 years.
20 years he's
yeah.
been on?
Yeah.
Wow.
More than that. And
shows
the same group of people.
Behind the times I am.
Yeah. You know, and so that's what I'm saying. I mean, it takes a long time to become big. You know, I mean, when you know, he'll tell you that when he started in radio, he was making like $96 a week or something, you know, way back when.
20 years ago, that's not so bad.
It's terrible.
20 years ago, my allowance was a nickel a week.
Yeah, that's allowance, but he was a grown man, you know. But yeah, you know, and now he makes $100 million a year.
$100 million a year?
Yeah, a year.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's like, I don't know, I figured in my, I don't remember what, but it's almost like it's like $2,000 a second or a minute or something. I don't know how the fuck I would figure it, but something
wow.
like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like every time a minute passes, he makes like a couple $1,000 more.
He's just like he's like a golden goose.
Yeah, I'm telling you. So hopefully we'll be there one day too.
Yeah, hell yeah.
But but yeah, so and that's the reason I brought it up though, is that you know, radio has become personal now, and that's where it's going, you know. And you know what's amazing is that I've been reading this book on radio also. This book was written in 1999, okay? In fact, I put a quote on our website, and I'll read it for you, but this is amazing, the things that I'm saying all along, and then somebody actually predicted this 9 years ago. But so this guy was saying that internet radio is where the new radio talent is going to come from, and then he goes on to say the internet only stations have a lot going on. Cyberspace offers a great opportunity for young people. The internet is probably going to do to FM what FM did to AM. The concept is that there are absolutely no rules. Just like the experimentation in the early days of FM, people are doing things that have never been done before.
You wow. know?
Yeah, so...
Oh,
and
I
if
just
you
got
recall,
chills. That's,
really?
That's cool.
Really? Yeah, and...
Take this, FM.
So, yeah, so that's what I'm saying, you know? And it goes on to say this. Today's overconfident FM operators remind me of the AM guys who were always joking how nobody had an FM radio. Then, all of a sudden, everybody did. The same thing goes for the internet and satellite radio. Everybody's saying it's a long way off or that you can't listen to it in the car. Well, have you ever heard of cellular? Very soon you'll be able to forget to... I'm sorry. Oh, shit, I didn't put a space here.
That's okay.
Very soon you'll be able to get all your computer hookups in your car, and then there will be 10 million radio stations to choose from. Hello?
Wow.
Yeah, so you see, and this is what's happening right now. Right
that's
now.
That's so crazy.
So I'm telling you, it's...
I'm so behind the times, like, just with technology in general.
Yeah.
Like, you're lucky I'm able to, like, operate myself, my BlackBerry and send you an email back. I'm seriously just not one of, like, the techie kids of my time.
Yeah.
So even as we're sitting here in the studio, that just kind of, like, blows my mind to hear you read that.
Yeah, yeah. It's really cool, you know. And the fact that professionals have seen this coming 10 years ago almost is just amazing to me. And this is the time. This is what they predicted: the radios in the car, internet access in cars, on mobile phones, things like that. You
that's
know?
Crazy.
So yeah, and
it's gonna be like the Jetsons soon enough.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And you know what I also found out is radio is the most competitive area of media. Totally. Really? Yeah, it's very, very competitive. That's why a lot of stations are closing down, you know. And we're a threat to them, not that big yet, but we will be.
Wow, that's so crazy.
Mm. I know. I know.
Well, congratulations to us.
Yes, absolutely. Is there any other news, or did you go through most of the important shit?
I've got something about P. Diddy over here.
Yeah.
He was involved.
Oh, yeah, I heard something. What happened?
Yeah, he was involved in a little gunplay during a traffic stop in L.A. over the weekend.
Oh, that's nice.
I know, right? Can you imagine? He was apparently traveling on Sunset Boulevard in a 7-car convoy when a deputy pulled over one of the vehicles for having an expired registration tag. And the deputy became concerned when several men approached the vehicle, so he pulled his gun. The gun was never pointed at Diddy himself, but it was enough to calm everyone down, and it turned out the car with the expired tags was a rental, so no tickets were issued.
Wow.
Is that how that works out? If you have expired tags in a rental, you don't get a ticket?
Probably not, because, yeah, it doesn't make sense.
It's
a correctable offense. So,
really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So they figured you're not going to correct it if the car is rented, but... But I get pulled over a couple times for no front plate.
Really?
Yeah. Excuse me.
SARS.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it's a correctable thing, then they're not going to do it. But obviously, when you rent a car, you're still liable for parking tickets and speeding tickets.
Oh, don't
I
know
stuff.
That.
Yeah. I know.
I know that one firsthand.
Yeah?
Oh, yes. I get a ton of parking tickets all the time. You know how I was telling you how we had spray painted the red line by my house?
Oh, yes, yes.
Because we wanted to extend it just a couple of inches. Right. I actually got a parking ticket for being in that zone the other day.
Really?
$75 for being in the quote-unquote red, even though it's spray painted white.
Yes.
Bullshit.
But they did not spray paint.
Doesn't matter. They don't know that I spray painted it.
Yeah. So you know what you should do? Instead of white, paint it gray, like the side of the sidewalk. And then they won't know.
You know what? Maybe I will do that when I get home today. Instead of studying my homework, I'm going to go buy some spray paint.
Go to the paint store and tell them, I need something that matches the sidewalk.
Matches the curb. Oh, shit. Can you imagine?
Oh, that's funny.
It's funny that
you did that, though.
I know. It reminds me of the one time I crashed my dad's car. I was 15 and I stole it. I was home from school sick and I crashed it into the garage after I'd made it all the way around the block, picked up my girlfriend. I was in first gear the whole time.
What?
I don't know how I didn't blow the car up. But I had to back it back in. It was like this little red convertible. And I had to back it back into the garage like perfectly so he wouldn't know I had moved it. Mm-hmm. And so I was pretending it was like the tractor because we had a tractor at our farm and I used to mow the lawn. Right. And I was like, all right, pretend it's a tractor and I get it into reverse. And the car goes, like, screeching backward into the garage. But it was completely crooked, which meant I had to go back into first gear again.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I slam into this brick wall. And I'm like, oh, my God, the whole front left-hand of the corner of the car was just, like, mashed in.
Wow.
And so as soon as I'm surveying the damage, I'm like, oh, no, what do I do? I'm like, okay, what kind of paint is going to match this? And I'm looking through the garage. And the only color paint that I could find to match the car was, like, nail polish. So I actually, like, took a hammer, and I tried to, like, bang out portions of the car, and I'm painting it with my little red nail polish thing.
Oh, my God.
It totally did not do the trick. I was not meant to be a body person on cars. My poor father, like, I didn't know what to do, so I went in and I called him. I was like, Daddy? He's like, yes. I really hope he doesn't listen to this, because to this day I told him I was taking the car out to wash it. Fuck.
Yeah. But no, in a case like this, you go to the dealer and you get the paint that matches, and then you
put
it on.
I was 15. I didn't know.
Yeah, I guess.
Had, like, 5 hours before he was going to be home. Like, I doubt they would have been able to fix the damage, like, that soon.
Yeah.
But so I was like, Daddy, I just wanted to tell you I was trying to do something nice for you, and I was going to wash your car because you've been so nice to me, and you gave me an increase on my allowance, and because you just bought me that nice homecoming dress. And so he's like, so what happened? I was like, well, after I washed it, meanwhile, you hear like a thunder bolt in the background because the rainstorm's like going on. He's like, yep, you decided to wash my convertible in the rain. Uh-huh. And what else happened, Susie? I'm like, well, the garage got in the way to Father. And he's like, really? So to this day, like, every time we go on, like, one of our divorced fathers and their daughter's drunken ski trip, he asks me, what really happened to my car, Suzanne? What really happened? Because Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I swear to God, is on every time we go on one of these trips.
Really?
I don't know if they think it's, like, a father... like in their kids' weekend or something, and they just want to put something on that's like funny like that. But I tell you every single time since
that's
the
hysterical.
Incident. Oh, it's awful. Because he just sits there and he's like, what really happened? And I'm like, I'm sticking to my story. That's it. So I really, really hope he's not listening, because then he will have all the ammunition that he needs.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. My poor father.
I know.
He's done well putting up with my sister and me.
Yeah, I feel for him.
Actually, he was being really, really funny. It was my sister and I are getting all hookered out to, you know, go out to the casinos, and my dad's girlfriend's blow-drying our hair, and we're having, like, we totally just are all hookered out. And my father's just like, wow, feel bad for any guys that are going out with you guys tonight. You guys are going to tear up the town.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, we are.
God, I'm wondering what it's like to be a father and your daughter sort of like shoving sex in your face all the time, you know? I mean, because he can't ignore it, I'm sure, and he knows exactly what he has. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's got to be tough.
You know? It's becoming less weird as I get older.
Mm.
Because, I mean, at first, when the very first time, like, sex came up kind of, like, around my father, you know, it was with his girlfriend, because all of a sudden she's young and, like, we're all sleeping in the same house together. And, you know, obviously my dad and his girlfriend are sleeping in the same room, and we're
right.
all kind of just kind of trying to pretend, you know, oh, you know, they're whatever. Like, we're all adults here. But at the same time, we're all kind of like, we all know what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of weird and awkward. But this was the first time that it's gotten, like, really, really comfortable talking about it with my dad. Like, it's just not even weird anymore.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny.
Yeah, that's cool.
I know. It's definitely not at that point with my mother yet. Yeah. I don't think it ever will be.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes you just have those barriers. I can't talk to my parents about sex at all.
I don't know. I also just find, like, having the show and just being around my sister and having, like, a stronger support team of people that like talking about sex as well really kind of helps.
Yeah.
So when you've got a whole room of people that just like having dirty jokes told all the time, you know, the conversation just continually is downhill.
Yeah.
And going nowhere good.
I know. Well, we're at the top of the show.
Yeah.
The time flew today, huh?
Yes, it did.
And we apologize for no guests. I had two lined up, and they were both mistakes.
I'm telling you, Sam, you're going to be grounded from guests for a while.
And then we got a flake out this week. Well, that friend of mine that I used to work with that's going to come in and drink with you
yes,
in the morning.
Yes, I was just going
to
say.
Well, she had to postpone, and so she'll probably be in like maybe a week after or something. So we still have an empty spot. And
actually, what day do you have the empty spot?
Thursday.
Is it for Thursday? Can I bring someone in?
Of course.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
perfect. I'll bring one of two people in. I'll work on that, and I'll have someone in the studio for us.
Perfect.
Excellent.
Sounds good.
It's either going to be a hot girl or an older guy, but...
No older guys here, okay?
Come on.
They don't belong here.
You know, he's an interesting person. I swear.
He?
Yes. Okay. You're giving me a look like you don't believe me.
Okay, well, whatever. You always bring
interesting people. He's funny and he's quirky.
People. Yeah. I'm sure any person you bring is going to be interesting.
On some kind of weird level.
Yeah.
But I'll definitely do that, and we'll plan on that for Thursday.
Sounds good.
Cool.
All right.
Now I'm off to Malibu to play with my pussies.
Sounds good to me. Stay tuned at 11 for the Downtown Lounge. That's a show that's been running on Saturday mornings, and now they move to Tuesday at 11. So you're going to have a chance to listen to them, Eric and Robert. A great show, I think, and it's a lot of fun. They talk about relevant things and so forth. And, of course...
As opposed to saying...
Irrelevant
things.
Yeah. Well, some people do talk about irrelevant things.
Like us.
Yeah. And do check out the rest of the schedule today. Have a great one, and Susie, we'll see you tomorrow.
And now from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the morning.
Sam and Susie in the morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.